But we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. This is an chasm where results are compelled with Apostle Epher Emmanuel. As we behold God's word today, we become the true reflection of His word. You will be blessed.
As a people, I believe very strongly that it is important that we draw our attentions to certain coordinates that are consistent with the way of the kingdom. The presence of God is available. The presence of God is open to His children, but there is a protocol to the presence of God. Every environment has a protocol. Every environment has acceptable behaviors. If you head towards the north, when you enter the palace of a royal, you will be demanded, you are expected to take off your shoes. It is the protocol of that space. You, no matter who you are, that space demands that you must take off your shoes. That is the protocol of that space. If you refuse to honor the protocol of that space, you will not find favor within that space. Every environment has protocol. When Pharaoh sent for Joseph, he had to shave his beard because Egyptians don't keep beards. He knew that although it is a taboo for an Israelite to shave his beard, because it is an insult for an Israelite to shave his beard, but for the sake of the environment he was going to enter, there is need to conform with a protocol. The presence of God has a protocol, and you don't stroll anyhow you like. As a matter of fact, the scripture says, enter into His presence. Not too many people enter the presence. We can gather in a hall. The presence is different from that hall. It is not about the venue. How many people can journey into the presence? Enter into His presence with thanksgiving, and into His courts with what? Praises. The Message translation says, enter into His presence with the password, thank you. Not too many people have had a posture of appreciation to just come before God. If I lift up a prayer of thanksgiving right now in this hall, and I say, let's appreciate God, I will show you the wiring of the average human soul. He will first start by saying, Lord, we thank you. We give you all the glory. We give you all the glory. Before he knows it, the request will enter immediately. He is not used to thanking God. Thanking God is just a routine, something we do quickly to go to the main issue. I say, let's thank God. As we start praying, before 2 minutes, somebody has forgotten that it was thanksgiving. He will start, Father, remember the last submission I made about that contract. You said you, You know, there are days we need to just devote time just to appreciate God for the journey so far. That is how we harness His presence. We draw His presence by coming through the protocol that has been established. There is a password. It's called thank you. In 30 seconds, wherever you are, this convergence must count. And it will not be about how long we tarried here. It's about what we collided with. In 30 seconds, just retreat back to the chambers of your soul and tell the Lord, I am grateful. Thank you for everything you have done to bring to this point. Thank you for the journey so far. Thank you for every dealing. Thank you for every reason. Everything you have given and those you have not given. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead and appreciate the Lord. Thank you for every door I knocked on that did not open. Thank you for the ones you opened. Thank you for life that I am alive. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, for I am counted among the living. Oh, I slept and I woke up because the Lord preserved me. Five more seconds. Can you just say thank you? Thank you. Don't add any request. Just thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Amen. There is a great tragedy that has befallen our generation. There is a great campaign against the ordinance of God for our lives. It is so detailed, so calculated, so planned, that no man, no matter how careful you are, you cannot escape it. They continue to try different kinds of mediums, different kinds of weapons. The aim of the princes in time is to master the souls of men. There is no man that will find expression on this side of the divide that they will not come to check what is the obsession of this one. And part of the advantage they have is that they have dealt with many generations before you. They have had the chance to interact with several people from your bloodline. So they know the particular compromise that is peculiar to your bloodline. Satan do not need to do much brain work to know the particular sin and the proclivity that your people are susceptible to. He knows where your ancestor fell. And so any day you stand like a giraffe and begin to make bold statements, they say it's because we have not brought the thing that brings them down. Don't try many sin on him. Bring what brings his lineage down. So you will find families that are known for peculiar vices. There are families that the spirit of lust is a signature upon all of them. Everybody brings shame to the family. There are families that anger is a trait, and they embrace it. They say, we are our own. So they have married it. They know that everybody here has a copy of this infirmity. And since Satan knows that he has had the ample time to study several people before you arrived, anything you came with, he knows that there are plans to master you. It will interest you to know that every one of us was sent into time for a very remarkable work for God. In Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5, the Bible says, before I formed thee in your mother's womb, I knew you, I sanctified you, and I ordained you a prophet unto the nations. You know what? When God speaks to one, he speaks to all. He's not speaking to Jeremiah alone. Everybody, before they were formed in their mother's womb, there was... Hey, you are not a mistake. The kind of investment it takes to secure one human body, the biological campaign it takes for one particular cell to fertilize the egg. If any other one fertilizes it, the detail will not come out like this. There must be a supernatural help to make sure it is you that will win that race among millions of cells. It was in Hebrews chapter 10, the Bible says, a body hast thou prepared for me. It is the same thing Jeremiah 1 verse 5 was saying. It's already somebody called you. Before I formed you in your mother's womb, before the parts came together, I already knew you. So who did God know? Who did he know? Since no part has been formed. There are too many great destinies that continue to waste by the day. They live their whole life for themselves. Continue to fall for all of the whims and the caprices of princes. And at the end of the day, they report back to eternity, never scratching the assignment of he that sent them. And Jesus says, I must do the work of he that sent me. And you don't have forever to do it. There is a period of your time on earth that you must pursue and prosecute that work. He says, while it is day, the night will come, nobody can walk then. I have gone the path I've gone because I want to introduce something quite strategic. A lot of us don't realize yet that we are not the only ones who are interested to make certain progress or to achieve something with our life. There are several prophecies hanging over our head. There are prophecies from the chambers of light to give our life a bearing. There are also prophecies from the camp of darkness. So that at the end of every human being's life, you must have fulfilled one prophecy. It's either you have fulfilled the prophecies that echoes from darkness, or you conform to light. But everybody will fulfill something. If you know, if you say no to God, you don't have to say yes to Satan before you are for Satan. You just need to turn your back on God, and you are facing another direction. There is a prophecy waiting in that direction. That's your rebellion against God. There is a realm that predicted it. They say, one will come and he will serve our cause. Everybody is a servant. The only thing you can choose is who you will serve. But every human being will serve. And there are people here, they don't know yet. They think that they are just living their life. It's my life. I want to live it. You, everything, at the end of the day, you would have been a servant. They will show up. The people I'm trying to call their attention to order, they will show up on that day and say, in thy name, we cast it out. And Jesus will look at them before they finish talking and say, depart from me, ye walker. Please tell somebody by your side, walker. It means everybody walks. The only question is, who did you walk for? Everybody walk. You see that? You see that dressing? Is it walk? Our generation says they want to slay, they want to pepper them. You are on an assignment, you are an apostle, you are an evangelist on that day. Everybody who look upon your outfit and contemplate on lustful thoughts, you have drawn men into the chambers of Hades. You didn't win any soul for Jesus, yet your actions continue to pull men to hell. You are a walker. You are walking. You will receive your reward. Today, my attention is particularly for those who can sense that there is a supernatural finger upon my life. There is something about me here that is ordained by God. But with that same knowing, it's also a finger of iniquity, a besetting sin that continues to wage war against their alignment with God. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it says, seeing then that we are surrounded with so great a cloud of witnesses, let lay aside every weight. You know, I love the language the writer used. He said, let us. He was talking to believers. He said, let us lay aside first weight. Number two, and the sin that easily beset us. If you are with me, you are getting blessed. Say amen. You will soon realize that Satan is not interested in taking you through a roll call of sin. He does not want you to steal. Then you steal, he will take it and say, steal. Then you say, lie, you lie, he takes it. Then you say, fight. No, he doesn't want you to do many things. He wants to find one particular sin that is compatible with your lust and keep you glued to that sin until you die. It's what the apostle called the besetting sin. That one that you easily fall for. You can be a giant in many areas. There is a place Satan knows that any day you become too stable, if we introduce this, it will shake you. Oh, you are saying, thank God. I don't know the last time I fought. I don't know the last time I slapped anybody. Okay. We're not talking about percentage. If it's righteousness, percent is not the ratio with it. You know what? Hey, some people are angry with me. He will continue to do comparative spirituality. He will say, look at these people. I thank God my life is not like them. They are just sleeping around. You too, you have one other small issue. In your eye, their sin is big and your own is small. You will soon find out that there is no small sin or big sin. That little you are pampering is your own besetting sin. So everybody must face themselves. Brother, the challenge with the religion of our age is that Satan has a stake on the average minister of the gospel. I travel around this country on a weekly basis. I meet ministers over and over again. The number of ministers under captivity in terms of bondage of addictions, it will shock you.
And these are the people coming to share the hallowed word of God to the audience, not knowing that it is not only the sound that leaves their mouth that is hitting the audience, the energy from their soul. If you are a captive, you will raise a group of captives. People will listen to you for 1 month and they will become addicted to certain secret vices, and they will not know why they are struggling. It is from the holy altar that corruption is flowing from.
It was Satan's own idea. He doesn't follow the head, he goes for the shepherd. If he masters the shepherd, all the sheep are around him. He knows.
Any man that begins to pour with holy fire,
Satan leaves everything he is doing and goes for that one. Because if he gets him, he will get everybody who is under him. I'm speaking to everybody who knows that there is something they must part way with, and they are still pampering sin. They are still saying, one day I know. Oh God, there is nothing like that. The days that are upon us, the Lord must insist that let everyone that names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity.
So now you are a worship leader. You see, and the power of God breaks out, and people can attest that you draw their soul to higher places. But mixed with that, hey, can I share something with you? Amen.
Let's take the formula for water, H2O. Then you now just mistakenly, it was a mistake, it's not intentional. You now added small table salt inside. Small. I hope you know the formula has changed. Even if, because of the quantity that was added, it cannot be discerned by tasting. You will not know yet. But when you take it through analysis, you will see that there is table salt inside this thing. This is what Satan wants. He does not want your iniquity to become obvious for everybody to see. But he needs to have a stake, a small pinch of corruption in your soul, so that anything that leaves you has that signature of corruption. In the day of the harvest, he has a stake. He knows that little. This is the same thing we will deal with as a generation. In Numbers chapter 13, I will show you something there. Because of time, he will write it down and make reference to it when you get home. The same Moses that came down from the mount and saw God's people in disobedience, and with anger, he smashed tablets. He smashed it on the ground. That is Moses' anger. The same Moses that with anger carried the golden calf and grinded it into powder, mixed it with water, and gave the children of Israel to drink. That is Moses' anger. It came to a season in Moses' life. The Bible says they journeyed into the wilderness of Kadesh Barnea. That in that day, when they entered Kadesh Barnea, he had another episode of anger. The same thing God has been overlooking all these years, in that season, it will not be entertained again. You see this grace and mercy, that just, you will just fall by yourself. You fall. People plan sin. They plan the sin. And then after it, they say it's a mistake. Hey. I saw a condom in the brother's wallet. He said that he has not done anything yet. Oh, Jesus. You know, in the old covenant, we are instructed, thou shalt not commit adultery. In the new covenant, Jesus says, whosoever looketh at a woman lustfully has committed that sin in his heart already. The fact that you bought that item and kept in your wallet, it was that day you fell. Some people will stay like this.
The devil will say, "Come, you have tried now. You have tried. I mean, look at all these people. Look at this one. Look at this one. Who is even trying to be as accurate as you? Oh God, breathe more a bit." Then, like Jesus, he will tell you to throw yourself down. Nobody pushed you. You by yourself, throw yourself down. So you have attained a height in the spirit. Satan comes and whisper to you. He says, "Throw yourself down. It is written, he will give his angels charge over you." This is how many people abandon their salvation, hoping that they will be restored, because there's a provision called grace and mercy. And it is a temptation Satan continues to try on many generations. There are people that if their will is not involved, they will not fall. They will not fall. The devil will convince you that highest is you will take a fast. You will take a fast. You fast from morning to 6. By 6 p.m., you will start sensing the presence again. So it's not anything. You can just do this and you can repent later. What you have done is that you have casted yourself down by yourself. And it is this kind of temptation where it is obvious that you were the one that entertained that lust. You created a provision for it. There's a minister of the gospel in Kaduna. On Sunday, he will appear as a cherub, fiery in his utterance. His garments were white to portray the layer of purity that his soul has engaged with God. And when he begins to speak about iniquity, you will say this man was sent into time to uproot the roots of iniquity. It came to pass. They discovered his dead body inside a brothel. He died on top of a prostitute. The thing that was done in secret for many years, there is a season called Kadesh Barnea, where what you have been going out with, what you have been hiding, what you have been successful with in sin, your sin will find you. Satan is planning something. His plan is the day he will achieve it, it will not be only you that will be put to shame. Every other person who trusted God through your life, he will shatter their faith, so that they will say, "If this kind can fall, what is the purpose of we who are just coming up?" You will not hide your sin and prosper. You cannot. The Bible says God cannot be mocked. God cannot be mocked. God cannot be mocked. Nevertheless, the foundation of the Lord standeth sure, having this seal. Let any man that nameth the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. We have too many cover up, too many hypocrites posing as servants of God. This is why our life is not a testament of the things that are contained in the holy books, because we have utterance, but our life is not in tandem with the message. Guess what? On his obituary, that paper they post, they wrote, "Glorious exit." Hey! So, even upon this discovery, their interest is to still make an impression with men. You know what glorious exit should mean? That is, you exited into glory. A life well spent. These are the things we see every day. Heaven at last. Call to glory. Some people, because of their way of life, they don't even have any responsible picture. They went to crop one picture. You Brother, sister, this is a convergence for alignment. This one, it is for secret purity. It's not to impress anybody. It's so that spirits can look upon you and rate you and say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." It is a call to abandon any pleasure that has bedeviled you, because sin will always come first from the layer of pleasure. I thought I had my time displayed here. I was working with that information. Thank you.
There are three battles. Any man who wants to walk in alignment must fight. Three battles. Anybody who will walk accurately must fight. Number one, the battle against self. Self. If you are writing, the battle against self. Your first enemy is not Satan, it's yourself. The first enemy you will overcome is not demons, it's not Satan, it's yourself. No, I began by sharing with us how, on the strength of practice and usage, iniquity had journeyed, iniquity had flowed into different generations. So from the works, from the practices of one generation, an innocent offspring can find that in their vessel are tendencies and proclivities and, you know, attractions towards iniquity. You can see children. Okay, let me give an example. There was a, see, nursery two. A nursery two boy in Kaduna, because I always speak about Kaduna. That's where I give him. A nursery two boy in Kaduna, nursery two. He will carry his classmates who are also in nursery two. He will take them to the toilet and be raising their skirt up and be looking down like this. Nursery two. Eh? Please tell somebody by your side, follow come. That time he was not taught. No, nobody taught him. It is proclivities, tendencies. The demons that are always attracted to lust, when they see such a man, because as they are seeing him, he's already a man. When they see such a man, they will be hanging around his life, because they say, without us, see how effective he is. Now, when his secondary sexual appendages are now developed, imagine what we can do with this one. You know how that one found himself in that situation? Eh? He was shaping in iniquity. The conditions that were on ground before that body was formed, there was a distortion to the ordinance of righteousness. And since God's law were bent, Satan will have a stake inside. If God sees the bed undefiled, it is because of the consequence. He was emphasizing those things. Because you can bring captivity into an innocent generation on the account of your own carelessness. That situation of compromise, Satan will now be invited because God's law was broken. That invitation will give him a stake in the harvest. Then he will raise seeds with proclivities for darkness. Children that will need to first have to engage warfare to uproot the yearning of iniquity in their soul before they can even walk in ordination. You can see the way the righteousness of a man can affect his generation. The iniquity of a man also can affect his generation. He says, since I was born, now I am old, I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed beg for bread. This is the same way when God faulted David about his iniquity. Guess what his one defense was? He says, behold, I was shaping in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Your sin will not be for you alone. Your sin will open the door for Satan to buffet even your family. And in the day where you draw your last breath, you will be looking from eternity the problem you have created by your evil lifestyle. There will still be layers of warfare on account of that door you open for Satan. You know, you can be a husband now and you will think that your wife does not know what you are doing. The people who are watching are spirits. And that violating the ordinance of marriage you have done, you have opened doors for to enter your home. You will not know how many things you will be dealing with that is because of that door you opened. The Bible says, he that breaks the edge, the serpent will strike. We are journeying from one all night to another, one to another. We are looking for who to blame. Have you not read? If the way of a man can please the Lord, set even his at peace. Now there is something that has attacked us. Have you not read? He that rolls a stone, to him it will return. He that digs a pit will fall into it. No weapon formed or fashioned against you shall prosper. This is the lot of the children of God. Now they did something against you and it prospered. Who are you supposed to blame? Is it not yourself?
You want to blame any other thing except yourself. It means I broke my defense. It means I fractured my cover, because it is he that breaks the edge that the serpent will strike. The natural habitat of holy living, the natural habitat of righteous living is security. Your prayer points will be few. Just live holy. Stop thinking of prayer points. In holiness, there is a defense for you. You will not need to be knowing who wants to attack you. You are the apple of God's eye. You cannot be touched. You are hid in Christ and Christ in God. We don't want to live holy. We want to be investigating, doing warfare. Then gullible Christians becomes victims of false prophets. They just look at you like this. They say, it's your wife. It's your wife. A false prophet in Kaduna told a man that he should not touch his wife until he gets a further information. The false prophet now forgot the instruction. So a serious problem now came. So the family started shaking. The woman does not know why her husband was giving her attitude. He would just walk and pass her like this. And he thought that Papa was gazing at the heavens, downloading scripts of the immortals. So anytime it is the coast is clear, he will say, you can resume your... he didn't get any further instruction, so the marriage began to shake. It was at the cost of divorce they found out what broke the home. It is the instruction of a false prophet. He has forgotten that he said something like that. It is obvious that we cannot cover the things I intended to share, so I'll find a place for us to tie it up so that we can pray, because I really want us to pray. In Genesis chapter 3 verse 40, I think it will be projected. I need us to read this particular scripture because I want to show us something. There were some utterances God made in Genesis chapter 3 verse 14. Let's read together. Everybody is projected. 1, 2, go. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Please, if you are with me, say amen. Amen. Look at that last sentence there. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, comma, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. I want to ask you a question. Do snake eat sands? Have you seen any snake that eats sand? So it is obvious that the dust God was speaking about there was not sand. He was talking about something much more deeper than sand. And he was speaking about a particular model, a particular part of man that was formed from the dust of the ground. And it was through that part that he brought man down, because the temptation she fell for that the tree was pleasant to the eyes, number one. It was good for food, number two. And it is three to be desired to make one, number three. It is John that told us later that all that is in the world is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. So it is pleasant to the eyes, the lust of the eyes. It is pleasant to the flesh, the lust of the flesh. A tree to be desired to make one wise, the pride of life. So in that one tree, it is a compendium of all the assortments of temptation that can happen in this world is captured inside that fruit. And so when Eve took that fruit and ate and gave to her husband with her, when God was dishing out judgment, God said, Satan, I see that you were able to bring this man down using a particular dimension of his makeup called his body, his flesh. And since he fell because he yearned and he obeyed the instruction and the suggestion of the flesh, I limit you, Satan, to only be able to communicate with man through his flesh. And any day man overcome his flesh, you will have no power over him. He says, dust you will eat for the rest of your days, and on thy belly shalt thou go. You will operate with man from a defeated position. Any day he realizes superiority over you, your posture before man, you will walk on your belly. But if man does eyes, my people perish for lack of knowledge. And so, since dust has been described that this is what Satan will eat, since we have known that Satan will come through dust, it means in the flesh of every human being are suggestions, appetites that are antagonistic to the position of God perpetually. Until you shed this mortal body, you will never be above temptation, because the whispers of Satan will continue to echo through that flesh. He has been given access. You cannot go beyond from the flesh. Anybody who mortify the flesh, Satan will have no power over him. Unfortunately, like I said, your first war is to overcome yourself. You can be so powerful and wield power over demons, because the power you wield over demon and demonic realm is on the strength of the finished work of Christ. You come in the name of Jesus, because on your own they will not obey you. It is the person's authority you are wielding that has given you power. And when you do that, you will be amazed. You will be amazed. You will be casting out devils. You will be, and yet you will be a slave to the flesh. You will leave revival meetings and still go to fornication. You will sing and people will fall down under the anointing, and you will still go and fall for fornication, and you will not understand the dimension. How comes I am walking in this measure of power yet in my life? Have you seen pastors who the world knows a particular compromise they are in, yet they move in dangerous anointings? I'm explaining, the first war a man must win, he must conquer himself. It was Jesus that was speaking to his disciples in Matthew chapter 16 verse 24. He says, who is it that wants to come after me? Let him deny himself. This is the only condition. Deny himself. Deny himself. Not too many people have actually prevailed over themselves. You want to prevail over nations. You want to prevail over demons and circumstances, but you have not conquered yourself. And that yourself is Satan's access. Listen, your spirit is God's channel. Your flesh is Satan's access. Your soul is in between the suggestion of these two economies. Satan is speaking through your flesh. God is speaking through your spirit. Your soul is the mercy of any of them. Any of them is authoritative enough. This is why we feed our spirit by the word, so that our spirit can become bogus. If your spirit is lean and your flesh is bogus, when your spirit speak and your flesh speak, your soul will obey flesh. Your obedience will be in the direction of the largest among these three different life forms. Throughout your life, you'll be saying, the things I want to do, I don't see myself doing it. The things I don't want to do, that's what I see myself doing. You will think it's a righteous man's prayer. It will be sweeting you all the time. Until old age, you will realize you have never walked in alignment for once. The flesh. Man must overcome himself. As we conclude, this is why we fast. We don't fast because Satan sends us on errands. No spirit can make me go for a retreat. We are fasting because we want to put the body under. If you allow this flesh, he has suggestions, he has proclivities, he has tendencies that are waiting for the right atmosphere to express itself. There are people here, you will not know how proud you are until the kind of money that exposes your true color enter your bank account. Now, poverty has helped you to a larger extent. They say, such a humble man. You don't know your real walking step yet. Wait for your account balance to increase. That's when you know your real. There are, listen, look at me. There are certain men here. Their wives are busy saying, I thank God for the kind of husband he gave me. My husband is faithful. He does not look outside. There is a difference between the temptation to sin and the opportunity to sin. Many people, God has never given them an opportunity to fall. So, since the opportunity did not come, they move around like cherubs, claiming that, no, some of us cannot do some things. If the day they want to test who you are, they will create the opportunity and allow you. You don't know whether you are a thief yet until they put you in an office where you can use biro and just do something, and billions will just enter your account. That's the first day you will say, I'm a thief. The appetite is hiding things. It's the right atmosphere that will expose it. There are certain men, they were satisfied drinking water for many years until Jesus increased their bank account. Suddenly they say, that guy, they yearn for red wine. What I'm trying to tell you, if you like, believe me or not, inside your flesh, there are hidden tendencies. Even you will be surprised at who you are the day. So if God wants to help you, he would lead you not into temptation. And if temptation must come, he will deliver you from all. What you will be fluctuating is temptation to sin versus opportunity to sin. You will get up like this. How many people here, look at me please, how many people here has fallen in their hearts different occasions, but God did not give them the opportunity to fall physically, and so you now stand and claim that you are righteous? No, God is your righteousness. He was the one that made sure that although your heart has contemplated it, the opportunity would not be given to you. A brother got up, arranged his room on campus, started cooking, dressed the bed, put perfume here and there, played a Babylonic music, invited a girl to come and visit him. The girl was on her way coming. God spoke to another deeper life brother and said, go and visit your coursemate. And he carried his Bible and went to visit. Hey, when he knocked on the door, the brother said, who is there? He was so angry. He now entered and sat down. So it was the brother, the girl, and the deeper life brother. So the brother started asking him, when are you leaving? He said, no, I'm not leaving. I just wanted us to rub minds. It's been a while I saw you. The girl became uncomfortable. She now stood up and left. That brother will now get up one place and say, some of us, God has helped us. If there's anybody here who has seen my nakedness, raise your hand up. See, brother, calm down. The reason why you did not fall is because God made sure that although you fell in your heart, he didn't give you opportunity to sin. Let me share something else. See, there are people who boast in the flesh. They make their boast in the flesh. I'm not like all these people sleeping around. I advocate for purity. I stand for that day and night. But I've seen a corruption in my world. And then you now go and check the person. The kind of person that they like has never asked them out. Never, for once. So on the strength of that reality that your taste have never asked you out, you now want to bring comparative Christianity and begin to boast. Listen, let me tell you one truth. The day Satan comes for you, he will bring exactly what you have wanted and present it to you. It is on that day, temptation to sin and opportunity to sin, they will meet themselves. That's the day you will know whether you love God or not. It is because of matters like this, we are advised not to judge. When a brother falls, be thinking of how to draw him back to the fold. Those of us that are quick to go and comment on videos of scandals online, you go and make it trend. Unbelievers are always happy when a spot is found in the church. It makes them happy because our life judges them all the time. Anything they say, breaking news, pastor, unbelievers, it's a few days for them. You as a believer, you now went to join and you are commenting. No. You are standing because the Lord has kept you. There's a prayer on my lips. I tell the Lord, I don't know myself. Anything you know, I don't have capacity. Anything you know is above me. Don't let my eyes see it. Don't let my eyes see it. Number two, there is a difference between overcoming temptation and escaping temptation. You see that brother, that deeper life brother came. He only escaped. He has not overcome. The spirits know that we will meet again. You escaped today, but since And your deliverance is not in escape. Your deliverance is in overcoming. It means when you escape, the appetite is still there. When you escape, what Satan does is like this. When you overcome, you can tell your generation, be of good cheer. I have overcome. He says, the prince of this world cometh and found nothing. There was no merchandise that he could use to tempt him. If God has not helped you, don't judge any man. And when a man falls, go and pray for them. Go and cry. Restore them, oh God. Restore them. This is the spirit of the new covenant. It will interest you to know that a majority of us sitting here, our righteousness is a function of first the mercy of God and being escaping. You will plan one sin, you will plan the sin, then the sin will not work, then you will now say thank you Jesus at the end. Oh God, you escaped. In the light of the things God has brought before us, I want you to look inward. Don't look out. What are those things you must overcome? That's the first kada of power. You exercise power over yourself. For as many as receive him, to them he gave power to become. Power to become is a power that gives you access into a nature to become the sons of God. So you will rise above the beckoning of the flesh. That power gives you the capacity to be able to walk away from the suggestion of iniquity. But the flesh will always still be suggesting. Do you know that the flesh, even for God, in the person of Jesus, the flesh had an opinion. The flesh crept into Jesus' prayer. Jesus was observing dangerous priesthood, and the flesh entered and said, Father, if it is possible, please let this cup pass from me. That voice we heard here is in total contradiction to his reason why he entered time. That is the flesh speaking there. It means even God had to war with the yearning of the flesh. God had to quickly invoke another law and say, however, not my will. Not mine. You see, deny yourself, not my will. How many people here have entered that realm of life? It's called consecration, where you have looked past yourself. Our Christianity will count for joke. If flesh is what is powering it, it will interest you to know that so many things are inspired by flesh. Flesh has prayer too. Flesh has religion. Flesh know how to. The interest of flesh is what people will think. So flesh will wear very long white robe so that men will say, Jesus, these are holy men. It is fleshly religion that the scribes and Pharisees adopted. They didn't know God. They don't want relationship, but they want people to attach them to God. Flesh has prayer. If you see flesh praying, he wants to prove that among the cadres of priesthood, Paul's have been helped by cherubs. If flesh is praying, he will carry a chair up to prove that something is happening here. It was Jesus that began to speak about the way of the Pharisees. They love to pray in open places by the market square. You just be passing near your market and then you just hear one loud tongue. It's one Pharisee song. The reason for the religion of a Pharisee is to impress people. Hey! And the Bible says, spirit, and them that will worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It will take secrecy. The bulk of your work will be in secret. But the religion of the flesh is open. He wants to prove it. Tonight, the invitation goes out to all those who sense them, all those who know a divine purpose for my life. I know that God has an intention concerning my destiny. But you have found that just as you know that there is a calling, just as you know that there is a purpose, you have found another finger trying to cause for another appetite. Something that is trying to make sure you don't have spiritual consistency. You are up today, down tomorrow, up today, down tomorrow. Guess what the Bible said? In Jude chapter 1, verse 7 and 8, it says, a double-minded man is unstable in all. It says, such a man should not expect anything valuable from the Lord. So they cannot trust you with anything valuable because you are unstable. This is why Satan needs you to be up today, down tomorrow, so that you cannot handle your inheritance in God. They cannot trust you with anything valuable. You will continue to see in the dream of the night that you are the savior of your family, that you were drying people's tears, but physically you will never enter that reality because of the instability that your priesthood had recorded. You say that God, you have spoken. If we had time, I would have shown you a scripture. In fact, the Bible says in Psalms, it says, forever, O God, thy word is settled. Guess where he said the word is settled? In heaven. But you are on earth. Every great thing he said about you is captured in heaven. There's only one way for what is in heaven to enter earth. He says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. If the will of God will be done on earth, you must align. It will take priesthood. That alignment is what brings that will into the earth. It is the lack of alignment that has caused the greatest challenges for many people. The things they are looking for, it is theirs, but they cannot align and get it. In all other means, they will be using all other energy, but it was all yours in God. But men cannot align. This night, there is a solemn invitation. The Holy Ghost is jealous about many people's destiny. He is insisting because he wants to save you. He wants to save your feet from journeying into Kadesh Barnea. That point where you enter and make the same mistake you have been making all these years, and suddenly an utterance comes from the throne above. You are weighed and found wanting. Suddenly, an utterance come, cut it off. The devil wants you to continue hiding your sin, continue telling yourself, one day I'll be free, and you can see that it is not in you to break free by yourself. A superior power must collide with you. You have seen this thing. In a night like this, a solemn opportunity has been offered again to everybody who sensed the movement of God upon them. But with that same movement is the finger of iniquity, trying to make sure that there's a contradiction in that life. I speak to those who can suspect that God has a purpose for their life, and the devil also had prophecies that are conflicting. There's a prophecy in their flesh, there's a prophecy in their spirit. These two prophecies are fighting for dominance. And today you want to run to Jesus and say, I am tired. I am tired of using vows and resolution. I am tired of using determination. I want to throw myself on your arms. I want to draw from the power of resurrection. You are here and I came because of you. Please, come quickly. Come out quickly wherever you are. Just come. Come. Don't wait for other people. Just come. Don't waste time. Come. Make sure you don't miss this convergence. Make sure. Just make sure. Make sure Satan don't win. Hey, in the day where you hear his voice, harden not your heart. The devil will be whispering things to many people and say, you can sit down on you can pray. You, the same thing he has been doing to you all these years. Now you came to the fountain of life, and flesh will not let you come for salvation. Flesh, if you are ashamed of me in this broken and wicked world, he says, I will be ashamed of you before my Father. Come to Jesus.
wherever you are. I know there are more of us who ought to be outside. So I want to give you the opportunity. 1 more minute. If you ought to come, come now. God bless you. God bless you, sister. If you want to come, come now. The plan of the devil is to make sure he continue to lure your feet until you enter a place where judgment is uttered. By this time, you ought to be fruitful. Cut it off. If you are outside, go ahead and begin to talk to the Lord before we pray. Just articulate the thoughts of your hearts. If you feel like saying, I'm sorry, go ahead. But we will pray shortly. You go ahead and articulate your thoughts first. Holy Ghost, it is not of man that walketh to direct his step. Holy Ghost, help me, help me, help me. Let no iniquity have power over me. I, Holy Ghost, I know you have a purpose for my life. Separate me from corruption. Separate me from impurities, from defilement. Help this boy, help this girl. Help. Help me, Holy Ghost, help me. Many things collided with our generation. We were the first that they tested the internet on. And you didn't know that they were colonizing your soul every night. Every night, they were colonizing your soul. Now they have pumped corruption into you. And it is hard to live holy because our hearts are choked with defilement. So much that as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Because you cannot be different from the posture of your heart. They have polluted our heart with layers of corruption. Over 70% of the internet is pornography. And so they made sure that every corner you turn, defilement will hit your heart. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand upon his holy mountains? He that has a clean hands and a pure heart, that has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. The grip of captivity must be broken. I will not live my life as a prisoner forever. It is a vow somebody will make this night. Holy Ghost, I will not live as a captive forever. How long would you be up today, down tomorrow? Up today, down tomorrow. What can you handle in kingdom? What can you handle with that kind of posture? What can be committed to your hands? If you continue hiding your sin, one day your sin will find you out. Like that reverend, one day you will still go to that hotel and you will not know that it's your last. And Satan planned that the day he will cut you off, the shame will be so much. Your legacy will be blotted out. Are you talking to him? Are you talking to him? Are you talking to him? Help my soul. Help my soul. Too many things have perfected me. I have been bonded by many chains. Spirit of victory, help my soul. Now the Lord is that spirit. Where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Help my soul. Brother, can you pray some more? Sister, can you pray some more? Some of you, it is important that you fight this war now so that you don't bring an innocent generation into captivity. Some of you, it is important that
that you declare war now against corruption,
so that it does not flow into innocent people. Be fake, may I not be fake? Oh, I carry the Holy Ghost. May I not be fake? Oh, may I not be fake? May I not be fake? Oh, I carry the Holy Ghost. May I not be fake? Oh, may I not be fake?
That's a prayer for some brothers. I refuse to continue in this in this pretense.
Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. I know you have given me several opportunities. I know you have forgiven me many times. This time I ask, wash me from the innermost. Sanctify me through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Help my soul, help my soul. Save me from corruption. From corruption. Hey, lust is eating me up. Lust is eating my soul. Save me. Save me. Jesus, save me. Take over, Jesus, take over. Take over, Jehovah, take over. I cannot know you by myself. Oh, Holy Ghost. I cannot know you by myself. I cannot stop it on my own. I cannot make it on my own.
Glory to God. We trust that you have been blessed by God's word today. Well, you can follow us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/anacazo mission international.ami, or join us on our Telegram channel at Anacazo Mission International. You can also download more of our messages on our Telegram channel. Thank you. Remain blessed.